Today's shiur is Masechta Beya Daf Lamed Vav, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Hey Amid Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. Tonight we learned in our Mishnah, Mishilim Peres Derech Haruba B'Yontif, we could lower produce through the shaft on Yontif. Ask the Gemara at Kama, how much produce could be lowered this way? Amrav Zera, Amrav Asi, Vamrilei, Amrav Asi, Amrav Yochanan, it's the same amount that we learned in Masechta Shabbos. The Mishnah says in Masechta Shabbos, "Befanim abba v'chamesh kupesh al tevim shal tfuah." We're allowed to clear away 4 or 5 boxes of straw or produce. Bnei Archim, we have guests coming and we need place for them to sit. Umnei bittel beis medrash, we need room for the talmidim where they could sit and learn. So the Gemara wants to compare that just like over there we can move 4 or 5 boxes, as the Rishonim say, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, every box could hold 3 saw. The same shear would be here. Ask the Gemara, "V'dem l'shani hasam." Perhaps we cannot compare the two Mishnayos. There we were dealing with a situation of Bittel Beis HaMedrash, where we want to have room for the Talmidim. That's why we can allow 4 or 5 of these boxes to be moved. Aval hocha the lack of Bittel Beis HaMedrash. Here, where the reason to move it is not because of Bittel Beis HaMedrash. Loi, we will not be that lenient. Inami, or hasam hainotama. Over there, we allow you to move arba chamisha kupashari. We allow to move 4 or 5 boxes. Bishum Shabbos the chamiri, since Shabbos is more stringent. V'le'asul azulabei. So even though we allow somebody to move so many boxes, we will not come to desecrate Shabbos. Ava yontav the kul yontav, which is more lenient, as we've learned. First of all, on yontav, the punishment for being mechal yontif is less severe than the punishment for being mechal Shabbos. A yontif, there's no chiv skila, there's no chiv einish if somebody's mechal yontif b'shagig. Yontif, as we've been learning, melachos for oichel nefesh amutar. So therefore, since yontif is more lenient, we're concerned osel zazulibay. One would come to be lax with the yontif, we let him move so many boxes. So therefore, klal klal loy, we will not allow him to move the boxes. The Rishonim point out that the wording of our Gemara of klal klal loy is somewhat difficult. And in fact, some Rishonim even remove it from the Gemara, because they say, certainly, boxes may be moved on yontif. Our Mishnah clearly said so. So there's no question that we can move boxes. The only question is how many may be moved. However, says the Gemara, inami lidach kisa, perhaps we should look at the other way. Hasam hainatama, in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, the leka hefsamamin, where there's no issue of financial loss. So therefore, we only allow 4 or 5 boxes to be moved. Aval hachadika hefsamamin, here where there's an issue of monetary loss, the product on the roof will get ruined from the rain. Perhaps a fila tuvanami will allow even more than 4 or 5 boxes to be moved. The Rishonim ask, what's pshat in the Gemara? There we're discussing a situation of bittel beis hamedrash, limud haTorah, and we only allow 4 or 5 boxes. Here, we're discussing a situation of money. Can one assume that money, saving money, is more important than bittel beis hamedrash? So the Rishonim answer that in our Mishnah, why is there a halacha b'chlal that you're not allowed to move the boxes? So the answer is because it's an avdat d'chol, a concept we've discussed many times in this Masechta. Teaches us our Mishnah that in a situation of hefsid, when one is going to lose, have a financial loss, there is no din of Uvda Dechol. Once there's no problem of Uvda Dechol, there's no difference how many boxes are moving. The entire issue in our Mishnah is only Uvda Dechol. Now that our Mishnah teaches us that when there's a financial loss on the line, there is no concept of the Dechol, so we can move as many boxes. There, we're not following that concept. Is it an Uvda Dechol or isn't it Uvda Dechol? And therefore, there, the Mishnah makes a difference how many boxes may be moved. Continues the Gemara with asking more Shilas in comparing the Halachas of Shabbos to Yontif, what and how may items be moved. Hasam Tanan, the Mishnah says there, Masechta Shabbos, Avaloyas Oitzer. One is not allowed to move all the produce from the storage area. Vam Shmuel, and Shmuel explained, my Avaloyas Oitzer, what does the Mishnah mean when it says the words Avaloyas Oitzer? Avaloy Yigmar Oitzer Kuloy. He should not completely remove all the boxes from the storage area, because Dilma Asala Shvui Gumais, we're concerned that he may come to, once he has the entire area empty and open, he may come to clear the floor. And as the Meiri explains, if there are still boxes, so this is a storage area, and the person is not that concerned about how the floor of a storage area looks. But once all the boxes are removed, so now it's no longer a simple storage area. Now it's a living area. In a living area, a person's concerned how the floor looks, and therefore we're concerned dema la'asir l'shvui gumis. However, ask the Tosfos Rabbeinu of Peretz, isn't this, if he will be mashvi gumis, it'll be a dava shenem miskaven. And Shmuel is the mandama that holds the dava shenem miskaven is mutter. So the Rishonim answer that we're not concerned that's going to be a Dovah Shem Miskaven. We're concerned that once the person has the whole room empty and he wants the room to look nice, he will be mazed be mash v'gumis. So it's not just a concern of a Dovah Shem Miskaven. Others want to say that when you move out all the boxes, it's a psikresha that the entire, that you will do ash v'gumis. So now the question is, hachamai, what will be the halacha here? Can one empty out his entire roof because of the approaching rain? And the Mepharshim point out, there we're dealing with a room. Here we're dealing with a roof. And as we just explained, in a room, in a person's room where he's going to be living, he wants the room to look nice. But here what we're dealing with a roof, does the person have the same consideration? So the Rishonim answer that although here we don't have the concern that the roof should look nice, but we have a different consideration. We're discussing a situation where it's about to rain, and the person is concerned that because of the rain, his roof may develop leaks. And that's why I asked the Gemara, here too, should we perhaps not allow all the boxes to be moved? Because if all the boxes are moved, he may come to repair his roof because of the approaching rain. And now the Gemara analyzes the comparison. Do we say Hasm hu b'Shabbos da'aser mishum d'chamer? Do we say that b'Shabbos, which is more stringent, that's why we don't allow the entire room to be cleaned out? Av yontif d'kil, yontif which is more lenient, as we explained previously, Shabbat dami will allow the entire roof to be cleaned. Or dama perhaps Hasam d'ikad bittel beis hamedrash amrit loy. If there, where the concern is that we want to make room for where people should learn, we still don't allow the entire room to be cleaned out. Hacha, in our Gemara, where we don't have this consideration, the Lekka Beis Medrash, certainly like Koshkein, we should not allow the entire roof to be cleaned out. And the Rishonim, the Shita, has a very fundamental approach in helping us understand the different considerations. He says, sometimes the consideration is tircha. Says the Shita, when the consideration is tircha, we are more likely to be machmer on Yontif than on Shabbos. Because given that people have this perception, as the Gemara is teaching us, that Yontif is more lenient, so once we allow them to do work, they may come to do more work than they're allowed to. On the other hand, explains the Shita, when the consideration is not tircha, but when the consideration is an aveira, for example, moving muksa or ashvui gumais, there Shabbos is more, we're more concerned with Shabbos than we are with Yontif, because Shabbos, as the Gemara teaches us, is more stringent. Hachatanan, in our Mishnah it says, Mishilim peres derech haruba b'yontif. We can lower produce through the skylight on yontif. Bam Rav Nachman, loishan el abayis agag. It's only on the skylight that's on the same roof where the fruit is. Amigag l'gag, to take the fruit from one roof to the next, loy. It may not be moved. V'tanya nami hachi, similarly it says in the Braisa, ein metaltam agag l'gag, we're now allowed to carry produce from one roof to the other roof. Afilu b'shagagasem shovim. Even if the roof's on the same level, the heter of our Mishnah doesn't apply. Hasamai. Why would be the halacha in Masechta Shabbos when we're allowed to move boxes for make room for the Talmidim or for the guests? Hachudu asr. Do we say that by Yontev we're machmer? Bishim Yontev the kill, since Yontev is more lenient, Osul is a Zulebei, and like we just explained, he may come to do more Tircha. Avil Shabbos the Chamiri, Shabbos which is not that stringent, which is more stringent on the contrary, the Osul is a Zulebei, and people may come to be lax. The people will not come to be lax. Shapadami, we allow them to move even from one roof to the next. If in our case where there's a financial loss on the line, still Amrit Loi, we say may not be moved. Hossam, the Lekka Hefsa Paris, where we don't have such a situation like Hoshkein, we certainly should not be Machmer. We certainly should be Machmer. Continue the Gemara. Hochatanan. We learned in our Mishnah, Lo Yishashlan Bechevel Bechalonis. We shouldn't lower the throats with rope through windows. Again, because there's too much of a tircha, and as Rashi explains, we're dealing with a situation where the roof is enclosed by a wall. There's no skylight. There's only window in the wall through which the produce can be lowered, and this Bryce is teaching us is prohibited because that's already too much of a tircha. And similarly, the halacha regarding our Mishnah is V'loy Yuridim Derech Salamis, it shouldn't be taken down ladders, again because it's too much of a tercha. Ask the Gemara Hasamai, what will be the din when we're cleaning out a room on Shabbos Mifnei Archim or Mifnei Bittel Beis Medrash? Do we say Hocha B'Yontav Hud Asur? In Yontav we're being stringent, the Lekka Bittel Beis Medrash. There is no Talmud Torah on the line. Avil Shabbos, but by Shabbos Dikel Bittel Beis Medrash, with his Talmud Torah on the line, perhaps Shapadami, we could even clean it out by taking it down a sulam or taking it through a window. A Dilma, on the other hand, Hacha the Ika Hefsepeir is, if here where it's a financial loss, Amrit Loi, we still say they can't be cleaned out this way. Hossam, the Lekam Hefsepeir is, so by Shabbos, where there is no Hefsepeir is, certainly like Kolshkein, we can't be Makel. So the Gemara Teku, as the Pnei Yeshua explains, the Teku here is not specifically on the Lir Shiloh we're learning. The Teku is on all the Shilohs that the Gemara has raised in comparing the dinim between Masechta Shabbos and Masechta Beya. And the Pnei Yeshua says further, each one of these Shilohs should be viewed as a separate Shiloh, probably asked by different people, and the answer to one Shiloh does not specifically impact the answer to the different shaila. So we learned in the Mishnah, umechasen zaperis, we could cover produce from rainwater. Says the Gemara, amu'ula, afila irvir delivni. It's not only produce that may be covered, but even bricks, which are muksa, says ula, because of the rain, we're allowed to cover them to protect them. However, Rav Yitzchak disagrees. He says only peiros haruyin, only fruits which can be eaten on yontif and therefore are not muksa may be covered. Because as the Rav Yitzchak tamei, this is Rav Yitzchak's shita. Dom Rav Yitzchak ain keli nittel el davar nittel b'shabbos. According to Rav Yitzchak, we can only move a keli on behalf of something that's not muksa. So if we're going to take a blanket or a cloth to cover bricks, if the bricks are muksa, we can't take something which is not muksa on behalf of something which is muksa. Ask the Rishonim. According to Rabbi Yitzchak's din of Ein Keli Nittel El Tzarech Dover HaNittel, so how can we ever take food on behalf of an animal? We've learned so many times in this Masechta that a Bal Chai, an animal, is Muksa. So how could a Keli be, how could food be moved on behalf of an animal? So there are two answers given to Rishonim. One answer given to Rishonim is that that the din of Rabbi Yitzchak was only said by Kalim, not by Oichel, not by food. Food can be moved even on behalf of something which is Muksa. Another answer given by the Rishonim is that animals are not really pure Muksa. Since there are ways to be able to move an animal on Shabbos Yontif, you can schlep it by its afser, by its harness, so therefore it doesn't fall under the category of En Keli Nitl El Tzarek Dabar Nitl B'Shabbos. So perhaps this Machlokes Rishonim is really tied to a very fundamental question in understanding Reb Yitzchak's din of Ein Keli Nitl El Tzarech Dava Nitl B'Shabbos. What is Pshan Reb Yitzchak? Some say that Reb Yitzchak was saying a din in Tircha. We want to limit what you can do on Shabbos or not, and therefore Ein Keli Nitl El Tzarech Dava Nitl B'Shabbos. If you're moving something on behalf of something Muksa, we don't allow it. Others learn that actually, Rabbi Yitzchak's din is a din in Hilchas Muksa. And they explain it this way. We know, we've discussed it already, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos discusses it at length, the Rambam discusses this, that originally Chazal said that all Kalim should be Muksa. All Kalim should be Muksa. Just Chazal told us that we can't live that way. If all Kalim are Muksa, you can't use a fork, you can't use a spoon on Shabbos. So they said, they gave us a dispensation that something that I need to live, I can move on Shabbos. But by right, everything should be Muksa. So perhaps this is the way we could understand the question, the din of Rabbi Yitzchak, and the shaila regarding bringing food to an animal. The man, the armor that holds that Ein Keli Nitl El Tzarech Dava Nitl B'Shabbos is a din of Muksa. Really, everything is Muksa. And a keli cannot be moved only for a mutadigger purpose, like eating. That's a din in Hilchas Muksa. Rabbi Yitzchak is a din in Hilchas Muksa. You can't move something for an animal. If it's a din in Hilchas Muksa, if an animal is Muksa, I can't move food on behalf of an animal. So I must say that animal is not really perfectly Muksa, because there's ways that I can move an animal. But if I say that it's a din, not in Muksa. I say it's a din in Tircha. Rabbi Yitzchak wanted to limit the amount of Tircha that may or may not be done Shabbos Yontif. We could say that when did Rabbi Yitzchak say that din? He only said it by Kalim. He didn't say it by Oichel. And therefore, even if the animal is Muksa, I'm moving food, I'm not moving Kalim, that could be moved on behalf of an animal. Says the Gemara Tanah, we learned in our Mishnah, Bechasen is a peres for Kalim. It says in our Mishnah, we're allowed to cover fruits with kalim. So it means perisin, only fruits. But avir the living loy, but not bricks. Why not bricks? Because they're muksa. And isn't that what Rabbi Yitzchak said, that ain kalim nitl el tzarech devil nitl Shabbos? Says the Gemara, really, who are then that feel avir the living? We could carry some cloth, even to carry bricks. Just either the Tani, the Reish, and Mishil, and Paris. Since our Mishnah began talking about fruit, because to actually move something, it's not going to be Muksa. And that was the first thing in the Mishnah where we were moving fruit. So the Mishnah continued, Tana Sefer Nami, Mechas and Saperis, we were covering fruit, but actually we could even cover something as Muksa. Tanan continues the Gemara. We learned the next thing in the Mishnah, V'ken Kadi Yayin V'Kadi Shemen. Pitchers of wine and pitchers of oil can be covered. Again, it's not Muksa, because it's pitchers of wine. So it's a proof that Rabbi Yitzchak's understanding is correct. And it says the Gemara, Hakamai Skina Betivla. The fruit, the Kaddish Shem and the Kaddish Yayin are Muksa. Why? Because the Tevil, the Trumas and Meisers, weren't removed. And still, on the contrary, we now are saying that we could cover up something which is even Muksa. As Tosfos, we just learned in the previous year that Tevil is not Muksa. Because in the previous year we learned, as Tosfos, that B'di Eved, since Midaraisa, Trumas and Maisris may be removed on Shabbos Yontif, Tevel is not Muksa. So what's the Gemara's answer that the Kadi Yayin and Kadi Shemin are Muksa? Answers Taisris that even though we learned in the previous year that B'di'evad you're allowed to take off Trumas and Maisris, and that's why Tevel is not Muksa, one cannot claim, says Taisris, that Tevel is perfectly fine. It's of course understood, says Taisus, that there is an element of muksa and tevel. It's something I may not eat. And that's why the Gemara wants to say that our Mishnah is referring to tevel, and that's why, and the Mishnah is indeed teaching us that a cloth could even be used to cover something which is muksa. And says the Gemara, Hochnam Mustabra, this is the right way to understand the Mishnah. This akadaitach, because if you're going to explain that the Mishnah is speaking about kadi yayin v'kadi shem datera, regular barrels of wine and oil, ask them, why did the Mishnah have to mention it? The Mishnah already told us that we're allowed to take a cloth to cover Paris. Why does the Mishnah have to repeat Kadishayim Kadiyayim? It must be to teach us that even though they're Muksa, because they're Tevel, we're still allowed to cover them. Says the Gemara, that is not definitive. Kadiyayim v'kadishemen is trichalei. Even if we'll explain that kadiyayim v'kadishemen are not muksa, the Mishnah had to mention them. One would think, that when we're chazal makel and allow us to take a cloth to cover fruit, when there's a large financial loss on the table. However, when the wine and the oil are anyway in barrels, so the loss is not that significant from the wine. That's what the Mishnah teaches us, Kamashmon, that even for Hefsad Mu'it, we're allowed to cover Kadiyayin and the Kadishemin, but they're not Muksa. And in fact, the Rishonim all discuss that we find in Masechet Shabbos that there is a difference between Hefsad Merubah with Chazal and Mekel and Hefsad Mu'it with Chazal and not Mekel. Answers, say the Rishonim, two answers. First of all, they say perhaps there's a difference between Shabbos and Yontif. On Shabbos, we're only makel by Hefsa Merubah. On Yontif, we're even makel by Hefsa Mu'it. Another teretz is that Hefsa Merubah and Hefsa Mu'it are very relevant, very relative terms. What's a Hefsa Merubah for one person is a Hefsa Mu'it for the next person. And perhaps the Hefsa Mu'it that's discussed in Masechta Shabbos is less than the Hefsa Mu'it that's discussed here. Ask the Tzlach. Now that we're explaining that the Kaddish Shemen and the Kaddish Yayin discussed in our Mishnah are not Muksa, ask the Tzlach, why did the Mishnah have to mention the case of Paris? If by Kaddish Shemen, the Kaddish Yayin, where there's only a Hefset Mu'it, still we're learning, still the Mishnah is teaching us, we can move cloth to cover them, certainly by Paris, which are a Hefsa Merubah we're allowed to cover. So why did the Mishnah have to mention Paris? It should have just mentioned Kaddish Shemen and Kaddish Yayin. Answers the Tzlach. When we look at Kaddish Shemen and Kaddish Yayin, there's a Maila and a Chisaron. The Kaddish Shemen and Kaddish Yayin, as we're explaining, are not Muksa. But on the other hand, there's a Hefsa Mu'it involved only. When we look at Avira de Livni, we look at bricks. On one hand, there is a Hefsa Merubah. On the other hand, they're muksa. So if the Mishnah would only mention Kaddish Shemen v'Kaddish Yayin, I would say, as long as there's one reason that should allow us to take a cloth to cover it, it's mutter. So it makes no difference if the reason is Hefsed Merubah, or the reason is that it's not muksa. Says the Mishnah Paris, that the only reason we're allowed to move a cloth is because the item in question that's being covered is not muksa. Then we don't differentiate if it's a Hefsa Merubah or a Hefsa Mu'it. But if the item is Muksa, makes no difference even though it's a Hefsa Merubah, you're not allowed to take something to cover it. That cannot have been learned if the Mishnah had only mentioned the case of Kaddish Shemen and Kaddish Yayin. Tonight we learned in the Mishnah, Noisnan Kli Tachsa Delaf B'Shabbos, we're allowed to put a utensil under dripping water on Shabbos. Again, isn't this a proof to Ula that the keli is being taken even for something which is muksa? Says the Gemara, no, we're talking about dlaf haroi, we're talking about water which is suitable to be used on Shabbos Yontif. Machlokes Rishonim, what can it be used for? Some say it could be, as long as it even could be used for washing, it's enough. Others say it has to be usable even for drinking. Toshma. So the Gemara brings a proof from this Braisa. The Braisa says, Parchtim Machzelis Agab Levenim B'Shabbos. We could take a spread, we could take a mat, and cover it over bricks on Shabbos. So here too, isn't this a proof that we're taking the mat on behalf of something which is Muksa, which would be like Ula taught us? Says the Gemara, no, it's talking about a situation, the ice of Minyanai, bricks which were left over from construction, the Havil, the Chazil Mizgalai, which can be sat on, and therefore are not Muksa. Toshma, so the Gemara brings another proof. Pars Mechzelis Agab Avonim B'Shabbos. We could take a mat to spread it on top of stones, iron stones, Muksa. Says the Gemara, we're referring to about Vonim Mikulzois. Some say it's pointed stones, others say they were like soft stones. The Chazi and Lebaisaki say they were used in the bathroom to clean oneself, and therefore Anam Muksa. Tashma. Parsim Achzelos Agab Kaveres Tvarim B'Shabbos. We could spread a mat over a beehive on Shabbos. B'chama b'nei chama, in the sunny time to protect from the sun. B'kshama b'nei kshama, in the rainy time to protect from the rain. V'vachlo yiskavim lotzot, as long as the person does not intend to trap the bees. Now, isn't the beehive muksa? And yet, we're saying that we could bring a mat which is not muksa to cover it. Clearly different than what Rabbi Yitzchak said. And it's the Gemara, Hasam Nami Dikudvash. There's honey in the beehive, and therefore we're taking the mat not on behalf of something which is muksa, we're taking it on behalf of the honey. Asks the Rishonim that honey can't be moved, honey can't be taken off the beehive on Shabbos. It's Radius Dvash. So how could it be mutter? So they explain that we're referring to honey that was already scraped off and is accessible on Shabbos and Yontif. Amalei Rav Akva Mameshon Rav Ashi Hotenev Mameshon Chama. This could be well understood in the summer, the Kedvash, where there's honey available. However, Mameshon Gishamim, in the winter, when there's no honey in the hive, Mayikalameima, what are we going to say? You can't say that's taken because of the honey. Answers the Gemara, it's referring to the two honeycombs which are left in the hive during the winter to sustain the bees. That's what the bees live off in the winter, and that's what we're taking the honey on behalf of. Ask the Gemara, but those two hives are designated for the bees. So even though it's food, their food, there should be muksa. Answers the Gemara, hacha b'mayiskinen shechishev aleihem, that the person before Shabbos or Yontif that decided that he's going to use the honey and the honeycombs for his own personal use. Asks the Rishash, he was saying that the honey and the honeycombs is muksa only because chishev aleihem, that the person designated them before Shabbos, before Yontif, are they not muksa? But is animal food, asked the Rishash, muksa? If somebody has a pet in his house, a dog, a cat, whatever, is the food that he feeds them muksa? So, answers the Rishash, there's a difference between animals which are domesticated in one's home, that they're the food that one has for them is certainly not muksa, versus bees, which are not a pet that I have in my home. Another teretz is that even food for cats, dogs, pets that I have in my house has to be designated. Even there, say some mefarshim, the only way dog food can be used if the food is designated for their use, otherwise it indeed may be muksa. Ask the Gemara, so the reason why we could take the mat to cover this beehive, because it has honey, and I decided before Shabbos Yontif to use this honey. If I had not decided to use this honey, my, what would be the halacha? Asr. Then I can't take the mat. Ask the Gemara, so then the Braisa should have taught us a different thing. Adatani, instead of the Braisa saying, that when may I take a mat to cover the beehive? it's bevach lo yiskav and lotzud. However, I have to be careful not to intend to trap the bees. Liflag listen b'didah. The Rashi should have told us a different din. But medvar mamurim, when could I take a mat to cover the beehive? Shechisha v'layem. If I intended before Shabbat Yontif, to use the honey and the honeycombs. Avaloi chisha v'layem. Even though no trapping is involved, still usher, because ain't keli nittel, el tzarech tava nittel b'shabbos. Says the Gemara Hachi Kamed, that is indeed what the Braisa means. Afa pishachish of lame. Of course I have to have intent to use the honey in the honeycomb. Still, I also have to be careful, vachleis gavin lotzot, to trap the bees. Ask the Gemara, v'may kimta, how are we understanding this Braisa? Reb Yehuda, obviously, we're explaining this price according to Reb Yehuda, the Slei Muksa. Because according to Reb Shimon, that doesn't subscribe to the broad definition of Muksa, there's no issue. The honey is not Muksa anyway. So we're explaining the Mishnah is going to according to Reb Yehuda, Eima Seifa. Now let's understand the end of the price. The price taught us, Ovach lo yiskaven lotzot. He shouldn't intend to trap. Which means, only since he doesn't intend to trap, so it's a davar shein miskaven, even though he does trap it, and a davar shein miskaven is mutter. Who's that go according? Asna Rav Shimon. That's Rav Shimon's position. Dama, davar shein miskaven mutter. Rav Yehuda disagrees. He holds a davar shein miskaven is asr. So we have seemingly a stira. The ratio we're explaining according to Rav Yehuda's position, and the safe we're explaining according to Rav Shimon's position. Says the Gemara. And is the safer understandable even according to Reb Shimon, the Tizbed Reb Shimon, v'abayver avadamri tavayu, v'ayin ravatira chas, that even Reb Shimon, who's lenient by a davashen miskavin, moider Reb Shimon psikresha, agrees by something, by psikresha loyomus, the case of psikresha is, that if you chop the head off of an animal, it'll certainly die. So every time where what's going to happen, it's inevitable, agrees Reb Shimon that it's not considered davar shein miskaven. So here, covering this beehive is certainly going to trap the bees in it. So why is that considered a davar shein miskaven and should be mutter? So explains the Gemara Lo Klal Reb Yehuda. We'll explain that the entire brass is going according to Reb Yehuda. So the ratio is very understandable. The ratio that talks about Hilchas Muksa and applies Hilchas Muksa is certainly going according to Yehuda that applies Hilchas Muksa. And the Sefer, why isn't that trapping? This Beikavi, because there are windows in the beehive from which the bees can escape even when the opening of the beehive is covered. The light time of Yehuda, and don't say according to Yehuda that the brisa ends with the words of Vachlo Yiskaven Latzot, that it depends on its intent or not. Ela'ema explained, Vachlo Yisena Metzuda. He should not cover the hive in such a way that it should be impossible for the bees to escape, because then it would be Tzeda. But as long as he doesn't cover it that way, it's permissible. Ask the Gemara Peshitta. Obvious, you're not allowed to cover it entirely. That's Tzeda. And everybody holds its Aser. Answers the Gemara. Madutaymer, one might think, b'minoy nitzer osur. Where is tzeda applicable? Only by a species which is usually trapped. Shloy b'minoy nitzer, but bees, which is not a creature which is usually trapped, mutter, there's no issa tzeda. Kamash Malon, that's what the Braisa teaches us, that there is an issa tzeda even when there is an issa tzeda when even by creatures which are not normally trapped. Tosfos has a different version of this Gemara, because according to the way we explained the Gemara, according to Rashi, it would be permissible to cover the entire beehive as long as I don't intend to do trapping. Ask Tosfos, but that's a psik reisha, and even if Shimon agrees that it's asur. So Tosfos says, the machloikas here is that I'm certainly not covering the windows. Because even Rav Shimon would agree that if one is covering the windows, that's considered tzeda. The difference is that according to Rav Shimon, once the windows are left uncovered, there's no problem at all. According to Rav Yehuda, since the windows are small and they're not somewhere the bees are naturally likely to fly out of, unless I specifically don't intend to do trapping, it will be considered under the category of a davar shein miskaven and would be asur. only when I specifically don't intend to trap the bees, and I left that window open, would Rabbi Yehuda be lenient? There's an interesting Magen Avraham based on this Gemara. Here, the way we're explaining, especially the way the Tosfos that we just quoted, we're saying that even though the trapping here, it says the Meiri, is only a Drabonin, because this is not a creature which is usually trapped, still, we're saying that there's trapping Midrabonon, and there is a concept of psikresha. Says the Magen Avraham, that from here we see that a psikresha is osur even by Malacha Drabonon, which the Magen Avraham says is a machloikis apaiskim, that some paiskim say that there is no concept of psikresha by Malacha Drabonon. Here we clearly see that it applies even to a Malacha Drabonon. Ravashi Yama. Ravashi has a new understanding of the Gemara. What was the problem the Gemara asked? That in the winter there's no honey. It says Rav Ashi, Mitan Rimoisa Chama Moisik Shum. Did we say the summer and the winter? What we meant was Chama Bnei Chama, Vikshum Bnei Kshum Gitanim. The Mishnah just said Chama and Gishamim. What does this refer to? It refers to May Nisan or May Tishrei, which is not the summer or the winter. Dika Chama, with his son. Bikik Shamim, there's rain, Bikid Vash, and there's plenty of honey, and that's why a mat can be taken to cover it because of the available honey. We learned in the Mishnah, for nice and clean taxed lap Shabbos, we could put a vessel to catch dripping water on the Shabbos. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, in the smala keli, if the keli becomes full with water, Shaifach Vashina, he could take the water and bring back the vessel, empty it out, take it back, he could do this all day. The Rishonim point out that perhaps this halacha is only on Yontif, where we allow the keli to be taken back and forth, because there is no concern that the person may carry. But on Shabbos, where we have the consideration of Mavid Alam to Shus Rabim, or carrying from Shus Yochat to Shus Rabim, it may possibly be not mutter to carry, just may only be permitted to bring more pails to catch the water. Asks Tosfos, according to Ula, our Mishnah is discussing water which is not roy, which is not suitable to drink or to wash. So when the water falls down, isn't the pail now a basas l'davar osur, and it should be muksa, and it should be osur to carry this pail? So Tosfos answers, and this is something we're going to discuss in the next Gemara, we're discussing here a situation of a graf shalrei. A pail full of unsuitable water is a graf shalrei. It's something repulsive, and that's why it can be moved. Other Rishonim say that Ula will agree that this din of carrying out the pail is only permitted if the water that fell into the pail is suitable. And in fact, the Rajba asks a question. According to Ula, that the water that fell into the pail is unsuitable water. So even though Ula does not subscribe to Rabbi Yitzchak's concept of Ein Keli Nittel, El Letzarech Dovah Nittel B'Shabbos, but there's a different problem. It's Bittel Keli Mechonoi. You're taking a Keli, which we know up front will not be able to be moved anymore because of the muksa items that fall into it. So the Rashbi answers that, says a very bechidish. He says, as Tosfos just taught us, this keli is going to become a graf shorei, the pail full of the unsuitable water. Says the Rashba, when I know that I'm putting a pail and the item falling into it is unsuitable, and will therefore ultimately be graf shorei, so it's not muksa. It's not a question of bitl keli mechanoi, because I know up front that it's not going to be unmovable, because I know it's going to end up being a graf shorei. Beirichayde Abaya Dolof. There was water dripping in the mill room of Abaya, and the millstones were in danger of becoming ruined. Osla kamei de Rava, so he came to his Rebbe Rava, and he asked him, what could I do? So he said, Dal zil ayil lepurich lahasam, bring your bed there, v'dal have a graf shalrei. So now it'll be a situation of a graf shalrei that the millstones are dirty and they're in the room where you're sleeping, vafke, and you'll be able to move it out. Yosef Abayi v'kakashle. So Abayi was not quick to accept his Rebbe's psak. Are we allowed to set up a graf sharei in the first place? Ad hocha, nafal bei rechai de Abayi. In the meantime, Abayi's milk collapsed. Omer, and he said, Tesli adi of the Amar, I deserve this punishment because I went against what my Rebbe said. Who told me I should do it and I didn't listen, I deserve this punishment. And as the Marshal says, what Abayi was really saying, Tesli, this punishment, I should have the punishment in this world and not get a punishment in the next world for violating what my Rebbe said. Ask Taisus, how do Rava be lenient? Isn't Abayi right that we're not allowed to move, we're not allowed to make a graf shalrei in the first place? So Taisus answers, since the rain was already coming into the house, it's therefore it's not anymore considered that I'm making graf shalrei. I already am in a situation of a graf shalrei, and that's why it's not considered making a graf shalrei. Farshim also point out that perhaps there's a difference between Shabbos and Yontif. Here was Yontif, and we could be more lenient in making a graf shalrei. Points can point out, the Farshim will point out from here, we see how careful one should be in following what his Rebbe said, even if one wants to be machmer against what his Rebbe. Somebody should not accept stringencies in himself different than his Rebbe. In fact, I saw the Mefarshim point out, we know that the Medrash says that there's a dilemma regarding saying Baruch Shem Kvay Machusa Lailam Vod after we say Krishma. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu did say it, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it. Ask the Mefarshim. So if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it, but Yaakov did say it, so we want to do what Yaakov Avinu. But it's like what we learned in our Gemara. One is not allowed to go against his Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Rebbe of all of Klal Yisrael, and therefore one should not go different than what he saw from Moshe Rabbeinu. Amish Shmuel, Graf Shalrei, Babit Shemei Reglaim, a urinal, Mutal Etzin L'Shab Ashpa, can be removed because it's a Graf Shalrei, Shemachziroi, however when he brings it back, Noisim by Mayim Machziroi, he should be put water into the urinal and carry it that way, not just carry a plain urinal. Ask the Mefarshim, and if you put water into your urinal, that water becomes repulsive. So what do we accomplish? They say that's not completely non-usable, because that water can be given to the animal to drink. So they thought that graf shalrei, agav mana in, that something repulsive could only be moved in a vessel. If they ask maloi, but it can never be moved by itself. There was a mass that was found in the spice room of Ravashi. Ravashi told him, you could catch it by its tail, hold it by its tail and take it out. Says the Mishnah, any activity which somebody is not allowed to do because it's listed Rabbanim, Mishim Rishus, whether there's a situation where there is mitzvah, but it's not an obligatory mitzvah, or mishum mitzvah, even there is a mitzvah b'Shabbos, when there's an outright mitzvah on the Shabbos, chayov on lavav yontif, one may not do these things on yontif. Ve'el mishum shvus, what are some examples of things that are awesome with Rabbanan? La'oilam be'ilan, we're not allowed to climb a tree. La'roich na'gav behema, we're not allowed to ride on an animal. La'shotel p'neimayim, we're not allowed to swim. La'metapchin, v'la'mesapkin, v'la'meraktim. Tapchin is to slap, is clap one's hands. Mesapkin is to clap on the thigh. Meraktim is to dance. Ve'elam mishum shvus, which are things that are non-mandatory mitzvahs, but still are not allowed to be done by Chazal. Like Dunin, we're not allowed to have it in Torah. Like Mekachim, we're not allowed to get married. Farshim explain, well, anyway, not allowed to get married Yontif. Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. So they explain that we're referring to the first night of Yontif, where there's no Chiv Simcha B'Daraitza. Like Chalot, Simvalem Yam, we're not allowed to do Chalitza Yibam. Eila Mishu Mitzvah, which things which are outright mitzvah and still may not be done with Rabbanan on Yontif. Like Mekdishim, we're not allowed to be mad at something. Like Merichim, we're not allowed to be Erech Yeralai, a parasha where every person based on the age and the gender have a value assigned to them. L'mechrima, we're not allowed to make a cherim. V'lemegbin, truma and maisa, we're not allowed to separate truma or maisras. Kalei l'beyontav amru. All these things may not be done on Yontav. Kavachayim b'Shabbos, and certainly not on Shabbos. As we know, ain ben Yontav l'Shabbos, the only difference in halacha between Yontav and Shabbos is el oichel nefesh bavad, what may be done for oichel nefesh for food preparation. We learned in the Mishnah, by oilam ve'ilam, we're not allowed to climb on a tree. Gzeirah shem yitlosh, we're concerned that he may tear off something from the tree while climbing on it. And as the halacha is, it's not only on a tree, we're not allowed to be mishtamish with anything that's mechuvah l'karka. We're not allowed to ride an animal, because the person, if he rides an animal, may go outside of the tchum. Shmamina, from here we seem to learn that tchum in deraisa, and that's why we made a gzeir not to ride an animal. Says, and we know that tchumim is not deraisa. Says Gemara, al gzeir, the concern is shemiyach dezmeira, he may cut off a branch off a tree to use as a whip on purpose, otherwise it would only be a shaygig. Tavishenem eskavin, he may do b'mezid, and that's why one may not ride on an animal on Yontav and certainly on Shabbos.